is he hiding?
He's only hiding because he's doing something strange.
Prabhuji, pass some of that up here too. When you finish,
you want some? You
want
some of that?
Thanks. It said that the devotees were bringing some books, so we put the table back there.
Oh.
Yeah.
But now we don't find them. Who's bringing?
I don't know. That's what Ananda Gopika said, that they were bringing some of us and bringing some books to. Jonathan,
you should ask her. Can you ask all the mosquitoes to leave? I think if you could do that, you'd be very popular.
Mosquito exorcist.
Sin, Lord,
Jaya Krishna, Jaya Vrindavana, Jaya Krishna, Jaya Vrindavana, Jaya Krishna, Jaya Vrindavana, Jaya Vrindavana. Madana Shri Govinda Gopinatha Madana Moha.
Hallelujah.
Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, everyone all together again, Bolo. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. A little louder, please. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Sati Thakur Prabhupada ki Shri Prendata Nityananda Prabhu ki Shri Prendurishottam Sachinandana Godahari ki Bolo Giriraj Maharaj ki Shri Radhakun Shamakun Girigoradana ki Shri Vrindavan Dham ki Shri Mayapur Navadvipam ki Shri Purushottam Keta Vipralamba Keta Jagannapuri Namaki Shri Majojara Sivanaiti Murti Mahabhak Prakash Jagannath Swami Ki Shri Jagannath Shri Baladev Shri Mati Shri Vadyamaya Shri Daishanju Ki Shri Shri Radha Lalita Tota Gopinaju Ki Shri Shri Radha Madhava Astra Sakti Vinda Ki Shri Kansha Tattva Ki Shri Shri Palad Shima Bhagavan Ki Gopremanandu Samaveda Bhakti Vinda Ki All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees all glories to Shri Shri Guru and Govinda All glories to Shiva Prabhupada Goragraganya gana gocha galaru haram Goranga gura tamago pyada kopa briksham Gopala gada rati dam yati singha gora Govinda deshi kavaram satatam namami Uttama adama kichuna bachira jachira dhileka kola Kahe premananda emona goranga vidoya dariya bola Kaja goranga kaha goranga laha gorange ranamare Bolo! Kaja goranga Gorangera namore Jejana goranga baje Sehoy amar pranare Jejana goranga baje Sehoy amar pranare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Shaiva Padam Bhuja Bhakti Labhya Prema Bidana Parama Pimarta Tasmai Jagan Mangala Mangalaya Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Madgavir Api Gopala Sri Kriyat Kripaya Jari Tadaiva Sambhaya Pitva Rishi Yustat Priya Janaha Sri Krishna Krishna Chaitanya Sasanatana Rupaka Gopala Raghunathapta Brajabala Bhupahimam Pancha Kopadarubhischa Kripa Sindhu Vyedacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So yesterday we spoke something about the nature of seva, and how seva, service, is a natural propensity, the natural inclination for the soul. And we spoke about four types of happiness, Vishayananda, happiness in sense gratification, which Krishna condemns, Yehi samsparsha jaboga, dukho yonaya evate, adyantavanta kunte yanate shuramate buddha. He says that it always fails. And it's suffering from beginning to end. So better than that is the happiness of Brahmananda. The happiness of Brahman. But that Brahmananda, Brahmatmananda Dikari, Purnananda Dasalayam, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in his invocation verse to Kalyana Kopa Turu, Brahmatmananda Dikari Purnananda Dasalayam, that Krishna is so wonderful, that this Premananda, the happiness of Krishna praying, makes that Brahmananda, it just puts it to shame. It's completely useless. But even that Premananda, higher than Premananda, we spoke, is Sevananda, to render service. And of all the different types of service, is described in Padma Purana by the great authority, Mahadev Shiva, Aradhananam Sarveshvam, Vishnu Aradhanam Tadam, Tasmat Parataram Devi Tadiyanam Samacharam. Even better than rendering service to Krishna, to Vishnu, is to render service to his devotees. But this is a very, very confidential thing. And therefore, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says in one place, that Krishna generally hides his devotees. Because if someone renders service to the devotees, then Krishna becomes obliged to them. Consider one commentary on the 10th canto, we've heard, that what was the necessity, the question arises, what was the necessity for the devatas to make some announcement in the form of an akashvani, means a voice from the sky, to Kamsa at the time of Devaki in Vasudev's wedding. The voice from the sky came, Kamsa, you're really stupid. You know, you're driving a chariot for your sister, but the eighth child of your sister is going to kill you. And what was the necessity for them to say that? One explanation given is that the Devatas were afraid. They were afraid of Kamsa. Kamsa was so very, very powerful. And now they saw, oh my God, now Kamsa, he's doing Vaishnav Seva. He's serving Devaki and Vasudev as a chariot driver. He's going to become even more powerful. He's going to become so powerful, we better do something right away to stop that. To stop that service. So very, very powerful is Vaishnav Seva. And Srila Prabhupada, he spoke about this in a very beautiful letter that he wrote to Tamal Krishna Prabhu at the time. On the 19th of August, 1968, Prabhupada said, your appreciation for the service of your God brothers is very much laudable. It's good. This is actually a devotee's business that everyone should appreciate the value of other devotees. This is a devotee's business. This is our position. A devotee should appreciate the value of other devotees. Nobody should criticize anyone. This is Srila Prabhupada's instruction. Nobody should criticize anyone. Sometimes devotees, they say, Prabhupada says that we shouldn't criticize anyone. But that's for lower devotees. I'm a very high Vaishnav. And if you're a higher Vaishnav, then it means you criticize others. And anyway, I'm only doing it to protect everyone. And Prabhupada, he chastised people, so I'm also chastising persons in the same way. This is called anukor. There's two things, anusar and anukor. Anukor means to imitate. And if we imitate the great examples given of Lord Shiva, who's drinking the ocean of poison, you'll be destroyed. Once Sripad Shankaracharya, Adi Shankaracharya, was in South India with a group of his disciples. And as they were walking down the street to a marketplace, one pious man came from his sweet shop and offered some sweets to Shankaracharya. And seeing the sincerity of the man, Shankaracharya accepted them, said some little prayer, and ate the sweets. And just behind him were a group of his sannyasi disciples. And so they all stood in line at the sweet shop with their hands out. And Shankaracharya turned around and saw, oh, they're doing anukor. They're imitating me. They like to get some sweets. Oh, Gurudev is getting some sweet. We also should. So then Shankaracharya, he didn't say anything. He went to the next shop. And the next shop was a blacksmith shop. And he walked in. And he asked this time for some donation. Previously he didn't. He asked the blacksmith, can you give me one of the red hot coals from your fire? The blacksmith was, Maharaj, what do you give me? So he put it in the hand of Shankaracharya, red hot coal. And Shankaracharya popped it in his mouth and ate it. And then he turned to his disciples and said, you go ahead. So we should not do anukor. We shouldn't try to imitate Guru. Rather, we should follow the mood of Guru. And therefore, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in one commentary in Third Canto Bhagavatam, he says that the function of the sishya, the disciple, is to be anubhav of the Guru. Anubhav means to follow the mood of Gurudev. And he gives some example. He says that just as if you want to understand the wealth of a rich man, and you go to him and say, excuse me, sir. Jagguru Chandra was a very wealthy person. He has properties and so many things. You go to him and ask him, how much money do you have? He won't want to tell you. But if you watch and see how many servants he has, how many cars he has, and maybe he has an elevator for all of his cars to store them inside of the penthouse suite that he has, then you can understand something about the wealth of that person. So in the same way, Vishwanath says, this is a function of the disciple. Because what we want is bhav. We want some feeling. We want bhakti. We don't just want what they call in Orissa, they have a derogatory saying. Is it? Kona Funka Guru. Kona Funka Guru means someone comes and they spit in your ear. That guru is not just someone who's coming and spitting in my ear. In other words, just giving me a mantra, and I don't really care about the mantra. I just want that. I've got something from Gurudev. That's not the function of Guru. Gurudev is Ashraya Datta. He gives shelter. And in our discussion tomorrow, we'd like to speak something more about service to Guru. So let me finish what Prabhupada says. Everyone should appreciate the value of other devotees. Nobody should criticize anyone. This is Srila Prabhupada's instruction to everyone. Nobody should criticize anyone. Because everyone is engaged in the service of the Lord according to one's capacity. And the thing is, Krishna wants to see how much one is sincere in rendering him service. Materially, we may think that his service is greater than his, but that is our material vision. Actually, on the spiritual platform, the service rendered by a calf to Krishna and service rendered by Radharani and her associates to Krishna, there's no difference. Krishna is so kind and liberal that everyone's service, when it is sincerely offered to Krishna, he accepts. This is a statement in the Bhagavad Gita. That he accepts a little bit of flour, fruit, and water offered to him in devotion and love. He wants our love and devotion. Otherwise, he is a proprietor of everything. What can we give him? This position of our subordination should always be maintained, and we should always give respect to our pure devotees who are engaged in devotional service. That will make us able to make a progressive march in the devotional line. So, the pleasure of serving the devotees is a greater pleasure even than being God himself. Srila Prabhupada, he once commented, he said, the Mayavadis, they want to become one with God. But the devotees have a greater aspiration. They become greater than God. Because when we serve the Vaishnavas, Krishna becomes so very, very indebted to them. And therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we were speaking yesterday about some of the final instructions that he gave to the residents here in Navadvip before he left for Jagannath Puri. And in Chaitanya Bhagavat, we were reading from Chaitanya Mangal yesterday, in Chaitanya Bhagavat, Vrindavan Das Thakur says some similar things that Mahaprabhu spoke to Sachimata's mother. Ete keva jaha Krishna sadhu sangha kori mahe chinta Krishna mata muke bolo hare bolo. He says, Eteke Bhajaha Krishna Sadhu Sangha Kori. My dear mother, you have to worship Krishna in association of devotees. We also spoke about this yesterday. If we think we can worship Krishna independently by ourselves, then we're just an illusion. And Srila Prabhupada writes this in a purport in fourth canto of the Bhagavatam. And he says, Mani chinta Krishna mata muki bolo hari. Think of Krishna and chant the name of Hari. This is what comes in association with devotees. It's a verse from the first chapter of Majjalila, Chaitanya Bhagavat. But again, in the Anchalila of Chaitanya Bhagavat, in chapter 3, Mahaprabhu gives a very strong statement. Krishna seva haitao, Vaishnava seva bodo, Bhagavata Adi Shabda Shastre Koila Dada Bolo Hare Krishna The service of the Vaishnavas is better than service of Krishna. I'm sorry, can we resolve whatever's going on in the back there? Can devotees sit down or sit in a chair or something? There's no? There's no space?
Translation.
Uh-huh. Okay, all right. You can take a chair, there's another chair there, and there's another chair here. Can you hear him okay if we do that? We could also give you a microphone, Prabhuji. Okay, okay. Harisha. Krishna seva hatoyo, Vaishnava seva boro. That better than serving Krishna is to serve the Vaishnavas. Bhagavati Adi Shabha Shastri Koila Dada. And the Bhagavatam and all Shastras describe this. The 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, Krishna says, Madbhakta Puja Bhyarika. Better than worship of me is worship of the devotees. So this is such a very, very important point, and it's a very, very subtle point. It's something which is very hidden. And this is one reason why people don't make advancement. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he once said that as long as one doesn't have faith, then they can't see the Vaishnav or Krishna, and they will simply engage in envious, violent, and blasphemous activities. If we don't have faith, then you're going to be condemned to engage in one or more of three activities. You're going to be envious, you'll be violent, or you'll be blasphemous if we don't have faith in the devotees. And therefore it's said, adoshada, that the beginning is faith. Faith in what? Adoshada tata sadhu. Faith in sadhu. Srila Prabhupada said in one lecture in Los Angeles in 1968, devotees are our society. And he said, just as we love Krishna, we should also love the devotees. It's such a very, very important thing. If we want to develop love for Krishna, we must learn to love the devotees. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his commentary on Upadeshamrita, he's described that we want to cultivate a community, a Madhyam Adhikari community. We're not trying to artificially become Uttam in a sentimental way, act like something that we're not. And we certainly don't want to be Kanishta. We want to develop an Uttam community. So what is Kanishta? What is Madhyam? As described in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, Archayami Vaharaye Pujamya Shadaye Yatina Tad Bhakti Shu Chanyeshu Sub Bhakta Prakrita Smita. Someone is a Prakrita Bhakta, means a materialistic devotee who has these symptoms. Archayami Vaharaye. He's engaged in archana, in worship. Pujamya Shadayate. He has faith in doing puja. He has faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Natad Bhakti Suchanyeshu, he doesn't have faith in the devotees. He doesn't respect the devotees, and he doesn't respect common people either. Such a person is a materialistic devotee. He only sees Krishna in the temple. Perhaps he only sees Krishna in his Gurudev. And who are you initiated by? Oh, anyway, better luck next time. That's his attitude. Amar Guru Jagat Guru. My Gurudev is very great, and your Guru, anyway, we all make mistakes, right? That's that's their attitude. Very condescending and very judgmental and offensive. So the Madhyam Adhikari, which is a stage we want to come to, and the stage that we want our society to be at, is also described in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, Ishvare Tadadineshu, balisesu dvisatsucha prema maitri kapopeksha yakaroti samadhyama. This is a madhyamadikari. Ishvare, he treats different persons in a different way. Ishvara, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Tadadinishu, the devotees of the Lord. Balisesu means innocent person. Balisesu literally means someone who's like a child. And dvisatsu. Dvisatsu means someone who's envious. He deals with them in four corresponding ways. Prema, he offers love to the Lord. Maitri, he becomes friends with the devotees of the Lord. Prema, Maitri, Kripa, he gives mercy to persons who he sees are innocent. And Upeksha, he neglects people who are envious. So when we speak about Vaishnav Seva, a natural question arises. Who should we serve? And this is a very, very important question. But there's a problem. The problem is there's two things, drashta and drishta, the seer and the seen. And we can't see. We don't know who's an elevated Vaishnav and who's not an elevated Vaishnav. And the tendency of the Kanishta Adhikari is they're very sentimental. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati describes this in his purport to this verse that we just read. Sometimes the Kanishta Adhikari, they think that the Madhyam Adhikari is offensive. He's not a good devotee. Because he's not going to all the different sanghas or different Vaishnavas like me. I'm very broad-minded. I'm an Uttam devotee. I'm friends with many, many different people in so many different Vaishnava societies. And that's the nature of an Uttam. They think they're an Uttam. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta describes. Maybe I'll go back to that. Okay. He says that, he gives a very elaborate explanation to show that the discrimination which is employed by a Madhyamadikari doesn't show a lack of mercy. He thinks a Madhyamadikari, because he practices upeksha or neglect of envious people, the Kanishta Adhikari think, oh, he's an offender. He's a second class devotee. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta states that upeksha or neglect, as mentioned in this verse, is the proper medicine for those who are inimical to the Supreme Lord and His devotees. Indifference from the preacher checks feelings of hostility on both sides. In other words, if we're indifferent to someone who's envious, then the feelings of hostility and anger which sometimes arise from an envious person, or maybe those feelings arise from us toward that person. This guy is such a rascal, he's such a nonsense, this and this. We become angry. If we practice upeksha or neglect, just leave it alone. It's not my business. That indifference checks the feelings of hostility on both sides. Although there is a Vedic injunction that one should cut out the tongue of a person who offends the Supreme Lord and His devotees, Vedic Shastra says we should cut out their tongue. In this age, it is best simply to avoid potential offenders and thus prevent them from committing further sinful activities against the Vaishnavas. It is the duty of a Vaishnava preacher to point out the futility, the uselessness of any process beside surrendering to the Supreme Lord. An envious person, however, will resent such strong preaching by a Vaishnava and disrespect him. It's a duty. If someone is preaching, if someone is saying something, you have an obligation. My Guru Maharaj told me you should speak if someone asks. And he said, don't compromise. You speak boldly. You speak the truth. He also told me once, he said, you said that in one place. He said, you should not have said that there. We also have to learn some common sense too, to control ourselves and speak in a way that's not going to get people too excited. We can give the truth, but sometimes we have to give it kind of in the back door, in a roundabout way. Mm-hmm. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says, an envious person will resent such strong preaching by a Vaishnava and disrespect him, considering the devotee to be unnecessarily criticizing others. Such a person who cannot appreciate the mercy of Vaishnavas should be neglected. If someone's criticizing the preachers, why you're chastising all these people, you're speaking up like this, just like we say sometimes, somebody becomes upset and they say, hey, you can't talk like that here, you're going to spoil the whole party, we're having fun here, everything is going very good and you're coming to us and telling us the truth, you're going to spoil our fun. So we become unhappy with such a person. But such a person who cannot appreciate the mercy of Vaishnavas should be neglected. Otherwise, according to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, his cheating mentality will increase day by day. Those who are not attracted to the Sankirtan movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and who disrespect the faithful servants of Lord Chaitanya, considering their strong statements about the Sankirtan movement to be obstacles to their own worship of the Lord, will never be able to fix their minds on Krishna, but will gradually fall down from the path of devotion by confusing the external activities of the material world with the actual worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Such bewilderment has been expressed by the words Bhayam Dvitiya Abhinivesita Shat. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has strongly rejected those foolish persons who, under a plea of mercy and equal vision, perceive that a faithless person is also a devotee of the Supreme Lord, and who thus try to thrust the Harinam, or holy name of God, upon such offensive people. It's a great mistake. It's a great offense to give the holy name to persons who don't have faith. Ashradani vimuke prishinvitiyas chopadesha siva nama paradha. This is a terrible offense to the holy name. If someone doesn't have faith in the holy name, we shouldn't give it to them. We shouldn't push them. Rather, if they don't have faith, we have to behave in such a way to create faith in them. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta stated, when childish people think themselves Mahabhagavats and act in defiance of the Vaishnava spiritual master, such behavior simply holds them back from receiving the mercy of the Vaishnava guru. Bewildered by false ego, these self-proclaimed devotees gradually become fit to be ignored by pure devotees on the intermediate platform and are cheated of the mercy that comes from the devotee's satisfaction. This is a very interesting statement Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says here. He says, pure devotees on the intermediate platform. And this is a rather controversial thing. Sometimes we say, oh, Prabhuji, sadhu means someone who is a Mahabhagavat, and we want to associate with such a person. And indeed, sadhu means that. But there's also other definitions given by Krishna himself. In the 9th chapter of the Gita, the famous statement from Krishna is there, apichet sudaracharo bhajate mama nanyabak sadhareva samantavya samyaghi vyasito hisa. He says this person's a sadhu. This is Krishna's statement. This is the authority of Bhagavad Gita. This person is a sadhu. But Krishna says he's a sadhu with some problems. He's a durachari sadhu. Means his achar, his behavior, is not so good. He's a durachari. But he's a sadhu. Why is he a sadhu? If he's a durachari, if he's not following proper behavior, how can we say that he's a sadhu? Well, we're not saying that. Krishna's saying that. And Krishna says he's a sadhu because he's doing ananyata bhajan. And what is ananyata bhajan? Well, you could define ananyata bhajan in one of two ways, at least. One way that you could define ananyata bhajan is one-pointed bhajan that someone has love for Krishna and never has any material desires, never has any material thought whatsoever, they're a premi bhakta. That's someone who's doing anandita bhajan. But that definition in regards to this verse is not a satisfying explanation. Then why would Krishna say he's a durachari? He's engaged in bad activities. So we can't accept that definition of anandita bhajan. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his Artavarshani commentary on that verse of Bhagavad Gita, has stated that anandita bhajan means they're not worshipping the demigods. It means they're not taking shelter of karma, or of gyan, of sense gratification, but they're taking shelter of Krishna. And they may have some problems. Maybe they can't always control their senses or behave in a proper way, but they have faith in Krishna and in Krishna bhajan. And such a person, Krishna says, is a sadhu. Such a person is a pure devotee. And who has stated this? Srila Prabhupada has stated this many times. Now someone may say, Prabhupada was just flattering the devotees. If you say like that, then we also find that a little painful, that Prabhupada is speaking in a duplicitous kind of way to flatter certain people. But if we understand the statement of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and the Bhagavad Gita, then it makes perfect sense. Srila Prabhupada said, all my disciples are pure devotees. And Prabhupada said that when so many of them had already fallen down and gone away, and there were so many different scandals and problems, and Srila Prabhupada fully knew about it, but he said, they are pure devotees. Why are they pure devotees? How are they pure devotees? By what definition are they pure devotees? They're pure devotees because they're not taking shelter of karma, of gyan, of yoga, of demigod worship. They're taking shelter of Krishna. And we should respect them. In the Upadeshamrita, Srila Rupa Goswami has given us what Srila Prabhupada and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta described as a definition of a Kanishta Madhyama Uttam. Krishnetiya Shigaritam Manasadriyeta. That Manasadriyeta, you should respect in your mind anyone who Krishnetiya Shigaritam chants Krishna's name. And Srila Prabhupada says, they're a Kanishta Adhikari. Dikshasti chet pranati bhishcha bhajantam isham. And anyone who has diksha, second initiation, how do you know they have second initiation? Well, I don't know what you call it here in West Bengal, but in Ariya they call it a paita. They have a thread around their neck. That person has second initiation. And bhajantam isham, he's engaged in worship of the Lord. And that person you should offer obeisances to. And bhajana vigyan, someone who knows bhajan, and nindadi shunya hidam, whose heart is free from the propensity to criticize others, iti sangha labhya, we want to associate with that devotee. And Srila Prabhupada says, they're an uttama adhikari. But if you think about it, this verse actually is completely useless to tell you who's a kanishta madhyama uttam. And I'll explain. And you see if you agree or disagree. You can pay someone to chant Hare Krishna. In the Los Angeles temple where I grew up, we had a nice gift shop there, and they would sell some dhotis and things to the devotees. But once a year, they had a huge, so many people coming and purchasing devotee clothes. It was late in the month of October. And so many people, outside people, would come and buy dhotis and kurtas and so many things, and we couldn't figure out, what are they doing? A few days later, we had a big Harinam every year in Hollywood Boulevard on Halloween night. And we would see a lot of those same people dressed up like devotees on Halloween night. And when they saw us, they became completely ecstatic. Of course, practically every one of them was completely drunk. And when they saw the Harinam party, they would come and in a very exaggerated, gross kind of way, try to dance with the devotees, and their friends would take pictures, and they would laugh and laugh. So they're devotees, right? They're chanting Hare Krishna. Well, and we should give respect to them. because it's a very great thing to chant Krishna's name. But Srila Prabhupada says there, Kanishta Adhikari. But the Bhagavatam says, Archayam eva hariye pujam yashwariyayate, that a Kanishta has some qualification. The Kanishta has faith in doing pujam, worshipping the deity. When those persons are on the street, they didn't have any faith like that. But they're chanting Krishna's name. And Rupa Goswami says, anyone who chants Krishna's name, they're a Kanishta. And then we see that someone who has Diksha, if you go to Kolkata, I've heard, sometimes you have some very poor people. We were speaking today about bungies. A bungie is someone who sweeps the street. And here in India, if you're a Bidesh, you're foreign, and you'd really like to get in a fight with someone on the street, the best way to do is just call them a bungie. You know? And you'll get in a big fist fight, because it's a very derogatory term to call someone. Bungie is like considered to be the most low-class person in the world. But there's some bungies in Kolkata, they've elevated themselves to becoming Brahmins. How do they do that? They spent a few paisa in the shop, the puja shop, and they bought a Brahmin thread. They put the Brahmin thread on themselves, and you see them, they get a little basket with some incense and flowers, and they go to the rickshaw wallahs and things, and they make up some mantras, ring ring hum hum boo boo, and they wave some incense like this, and they hold their hand out for some money. So dikshesti chet pranati bishya bhajantamisham, they're engaged in worshiping the Lord, and they have second initiation, right? I don't know. How can you tell? You can't tell by external things, can you? You don't really know. Once in the Hawaii temple in Honolulu in the 70s, Rajendranandan Prabhu could maybe confirm this, I don't know. It's a story that I heard. Madhua Prabhu told me this many years ago when I first joined. He said that during the Vietnam War, we know many, many people avoided the draft, avoided going to war, by joining the Hare Krishna movement. In fact, so many young people joined the Hare Krishna movement in those days in America, the FBI became suspicious. And they thought, what's going on? This is some kind of cheating thing. So they sent a spy to the Honolulu Temple, to the Sunday Feast program. And he came and he sat down with the devotees, taking prasadam. And he said, he's eating some of the prasad. He said, yeah, this is really good. How do you join you guys anyway? I'd like to become a member. And the devotees are very simple. He said, well, just shave your head and move in the temple. Yeah, I'd like to do that. So he shaved his head. And they gave him a dhoti and tilak and kunti mala. And he was staying in the ashram and getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning, taking shower, going to Mangal Aarti every day. And that went on for 5 days or something. And then one night he snuck out the window and went back to the FBI to make his report. And when he made his report, he told them, these guys are nuts. He said, this is worse than the army. In the army, you don't have to get up till 5 o'clock in the morning. These guys get you up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and you have to take a cold shower, and you can't smoke cigarettes, you can't have any hamburgers, huh? There's no television, you can't have a girlfriend. These guys are nuts. Huh? They're crazy. That was his conclusion. But from external perspective, he might look like a devotee. And even we were speaking, I think, anyway, some devotees are here, but better I don't say names, from one particular country that we go to sometimes where Krishna consciousness is just barely legal, one temple in the whole country. And Prabhupada's books are legal there, no problem, in the temple. But if you have them in your home, sometimes the police raid the devotees' homes and they confiscate the books and they arrest the devotees. And the devotees have told me there that sometimes they have spies who join the temple and they become devotees. Sometimes they get initiated. And Naranjan Maharaj told me some years ago a similar thing. He said he had initiated some devotees, and after a few years they came and said, Guru Maharaj, we have something to tell you. actually, we were at the KGB and they kind of sent us to spy on them, but we really want to be devotees now. So it happens sometimes. So just because someone has a Brahman thread, just because someone's worshipping the deity, Rupa Goswami says, that's a Madhyamadikari. How can you tell? And even worse, the bhajan vigyan, someone who knows bhajan, and nindadi shunyavidam, their heart is completely free from the propensity to criticize others. That's an uttam. That's a really good program. Let me tell you what. In the next 45 minutes, if I don't criticize anyone, then you should all consider that I must be an uttam adhikari. And if I know a few verses, we play a little harmonium, then he must be bhajan vigyan, right? But these are things that are very easy to learn. It's not very hard. It's not very hard to control your tongue and not criticize anyone for a few minutes. So then what is Rupa Goswami saying? And how is it that Srila Prabhupada is saying, we don't want to disagree with Srila Prabhupada or Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. They're saying that this verse indicates a Kanishtha Madhyam Uttam. So how do we understand it? We should think about it. The only explanation I can see is that we respect these behavior, this type of activities. That's implicit. And the second implicit point is, we're not the seer. We can't tell. Really, ultimately, Rupa Goswami, in effect, is telling us in that verse, in an indirect way, and the Bhagavatam works like this, anvaya vetirekabhyam yat syat sarvata sarvata. In the chapter Shloki of the Bhagavatam, Lord Brahma, he gives this verse, which describes that directly and indirectly, the Bhagavatam teaches. So indirectly, Rupa Goswami is saying something. Directly, he's saying something, and indirectly. Indirectly, he's saying, you can't recognize them. Isn't it? If you think about it, as we've gone through these three different characters, you can't recognize who those persons are. So then what's the direct point? We should respect anyone who's chanting Krishna's name. Maybe he's an FBI agent. Maybe he's a drunkard wanting to dress up for Halloween in a costume. But he's chanting Krishna's name. We should respect him. With our mind, manasadriyeta. And we should offer pranams, our obeisances, to anyone who has diksha and is engaged in worshiping the Lord. We live in Jagannath Puri for many years. And the pandas there sometimes have a bad reputation amongst the Western devotees. And Srila Prabhupada notes, and I've observed, I know some pandas who eat fish and even sometimes chicken and things. But whatever you may say about them, they're pandas. They were born in Jagannath Puri and they're worshipping Lord Jagannath. We should respect them. Why do we respect them? We respect anyone who's chanting Krishna's name because we respect Krishna's name. It's so exalted. We respect the pandas, not because the way the guy looks or because of some sentimental reason, but we have so much respect for Lord Jagannath. As someone who's worshipping Lord Jagannath, he's a very, very special person, and I offer my obeisances to him because of Lord Jagannath. And I want to associate with that person who's nindadi shunya hidam ipsita sangha, who's nindadi shunya hidam, whose heart is freed from the propensity to criticize others, sangha labhya. I want that association, who's bhajan vigyan. Why? Because I appreciate bhajan. And why? Because I need to associate with people who don't criticize others. This is the type of association I want. That's uttam association. These are very obvious points that we can conclude from this verse if we contemplate on it. So this is an important thing for us to think of when we talk about Vaishnav Seva. When we speak about Vaishnav Seva, we should understand how important it is. In this regard, there's a nice story. There was one devotee in the Ramanuja Sampradaya. His name was Kanchipurna. And appropriately, I guess, he lived in the city of Kanchipuram. And in Kanchipuram, there's the deity of Lord Vardaraj, very ancient deity. We went there a few years ago with Abhimanyu Prabhu, very beautiful deity. And Kanchipurna was worshipping that deity. And Kanchipurna was a very exalted person. He was so exalted, although he came from a Sudra family, Kanchipurna was so exalted, he would speak to the deity. He would speak to Lord Vardaraj. And Lord Vardaraj would reply to him and speak to him. And so after some time, devotees, persons in Kanchipuram, heard about that, and they became very impressed, and they began asking favors from him. You please ask the Lord this thing, ask the Lord that thing. And Kanchipuram was very simple. He would ask Lord Vardaraj all these different questions, such and such Brahman wants to know this thing. And this. And one day, someone asked him, "Will you please ask the Lord, when am I going to get liberation?" Okay. So Kanchipuram, he went and asked the Lord that question. I don't know what the answer was. The Lord told him something. And Kanchipuram, he started thinking himself, when am I going to get liberation? I wonder. But he didn't want to ask anything for himself. So he didn't say anything. But the Lord knows the heart of his devotee. And so Lord Vardaraj asked him one day, he said, "Kanchipuram, you ask me so many questions from so many different people. Don't you have a question?" And Kanchipuram kind of hesitated for a moment. He said, No, I don't have any questions. And Lord Vardaraj pressured him a little further. "Tell me, don't you have some question? Isn't there something you want to know?" So Kanchipuram finally said, "Yes, my Lord, I'd like to know, when will I get liberation?" And Lord Vardaraj told him, "Kanchipuram, you're my very dear devotee. I love you so much. But I'm sorry to tell you, you won't get liberation for many, many births." And Kanchipuram was completely shocked. "You're talking to the Lord every day. He's speaking to you. And the Lord tells you, you're not going to get liberation from many, many births." Kanchipuram said, "Well, am I doing something wrong? What is it?" Huh? And Lord Vardaraj told him, "You see, Kanchipuram, I can't accept anyone unless they've done Vaishnav Seva. And although you're initiated, you have Vaishnava initiation from Yamunacharya, I can't give you liberation because you've never done Vaishnava Seva." When Kanchipuram heard that, he said, "Oh, my dear Lord," Kanchipuram used to fan the Lord, and still to this day in that temple there in Kanchipuram, they have a rope in the temple room, and the pilgrims, when they come, they can pull that rope, and it has kind of a connection to a pulley, and the pulley, the wheel, and it pulls on a fan, and it starts fanning the Lord. That was his service for the Lord. But Kanchipuram, he told the Lord, "Please excuse me, my dear Lord, I'll be back later." And he left. And he went searching for someone that he could do Vaishnava Seva for. But Kanchipuram had a problem. You see, he was a very famous devotee. If we want to develop our bhakti, Srila Prabodhananda Sarasvati says, it's better if you remain alone and unknown. In one verse he says, "My aspiration is, may I die somewhere in the forest of Vrindavan and no one even knows who I am." Any ordinary person in this world would find that terrible and frightening. "Oh, they got to have a big party for me after I go, and everybody's going to cry, and 1,000 people will come, and they'll all speak, he was such a great guy, this and that." Prabodhananda Saraswati says, "No, I'd like to just die, and no one even knows who I am, and let the dogs and the vultures and things come and eat my body. Let me just lie somewhere, unknown and alone, in the forest of Vrindavan." Because when we become a little famous for something, then so many problems come. But still, just like moths, like little insects flying into a flame, so many people want that. We have such a desire for that on Facebook and social media, to become famous, to become well known. And it's a very, very detrimental thing for bhajan. So Kanchipuram had a problem. He couldn't do Vaishnav Seva. Because whenever he would go to one of his godbrothers or any of the Vaishnavas in Kanchipuram, they would say, "Hey, you can't serve me. Forget it. We know who you are. You're a great saint." So Kanchipuram thought, "What can I do?" So he took off his sadhu vesh, his saintly clothes that he was wearing, his devotee dress, and he dressed up like a gwala. I don't know what they say in South India, but gwala in Vrindavan means a cowherd person. And he went to the ashram of one of his god brothers, and he began to engage in service there to the cows. And after some days, his god brother noticed him. Oh, this person's doing so much service. But whenever he would try to come close to this strange person who was doing the service, the person would go away. So he didn't get to see who it was. And in this way, Kanchipurna was able to render service to one of his god brothers. And this went on for some days until one day during a monsoon period, the beginning of the monsoon, there was a torrential rain like we had a few days yesterday. And Kanchipurna was caught outside and he became soaking wet. And he only had one set of clothes. So he went back to the room where he was staying and he took off those wet clothes and he had to put on the only clothes he had, which was his normal dress, his sadhu dress. And he put that on, and just at that time his god brother came there. Hey, what are you doing? You've been serving me. You can't go away. You can't serve me. And Kanchipurna smiled. It's already been done. I've already done the service. And then he went back to Lord Varadaraj. And Lord Varadaraj told him, Kanchipurna, I'm very, very pleased with you. Now you'll get liberation in this birth. And the Varaha Puranas, quoted in Chaitanya Bhagavat, describes Siddhir Bhavati Vaaneti Sansayo Chutta Sevinam Nisansayo Sutad Bhakta Paricharya Ritatmanam. That if you speak about Siddhir Bhavati Vaaneti, the Siddhi, or the persons who have achieved perfection, the personal servants of the Lord, there may be some sansay, some doubt. We're not really sure if those personal associates of the Lord are going to get perfection or not. This is what the Varaha Purana says, as quoted in Chaitanya Bhagavat. They're personal associates of the Lord, but we're not really sure if they're going to get perfection or not. But nisangsayo, without any doubt, nisangsayo stutad bhakta paricharya ritatmanam. For the devotees of the Lord, the devotees of the devotees, for those persons who are doing Vaishnav seva, there's no doubt whatsoever those persons are going to get perfection. So glorious a thing is Vaishnav seva. So why is it that as a society we don't often see this Vaishnav seva? The problem is that sometimes we think ourselves the seer of other persons. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his commentary on the Bhagavatam 4.4.12, he gives a very wonderful commentary which we printed a few years ago in our Krishna Kathamrita Bindu. He says there's four types of sadhus and there's four types of asadhus. Four types of saintly persons and four types of rascals. And amongst the saintly persons, there's the Mahat, the Mahatara, the Mahatama, and the Ati Mahatama. The Mahat, he defines as someone who sees some good in everyone. That person is a Mahat. He's a great personality. He's a sadhu. He also sees some faults in people. He sees some faults, but he sees some good in everybody that he meets. And if they see some faults, they consider, well, these faults are temporary and they're going to be changed soon because the person has some good qualities. And such a person, sometimes an uttam comes down to this platform and he acts like a mahat. A mahat sees some good things and some bad things. A Madhyamadikari also may do like that. Or an Uttamadikari sometimes for preaching comes down to the platform of Madhyam. And it seems like they find some faults in people. But Vishwanath says that it's just like neem juice. Neem juice is very bitter. We like to have some nice bale juice. But if we have some neem juice, it's very, very difficult to swallow. But that neem juice is very, very good to help get rid of certain diseases. So similarly, the harsh words of a mahat can help a person. But even greater than the Mahat is the Mahattara. And the Mahattara, he sees also good and bad, but the Mahattara, his symptom is that he focuses on the good. If he sees a materialistic merchant, someone who's making money, the Mahattara will think, all right, he's a Vishaya. He's a materialistic person. But nevertheless, he takes good care of his guests. He has some good qualities. And he appreciates those. He focuses on the good things instead of the bad things. That's the Mahattara. And then there's the Mahattama, Mahat-Uttam. An especially great person. And the Mahat-Uttam only sees good and amplifies whatever good they see in other persons. They don't see even the slightest fault in any person or the other person. And Vishwanath gives a very beautiful example. He says, just like a sadhu may be there in Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, in the winter, it's very cold. And someone may come to that sadhu in the cold winter and steal his blanket, his kumbo. Practically means maybe you're going to die. It's so cold there. But that Mahattam, Mahat-Uttam, he thinks, oh, this person's a saintly person. He thinks this thief who stole his blanket is a saint. How can you think the thief is a saint? Obviously, because he had a knife, he had a weapon. He could have hurt me, and he didn't. So he must be a saintly person. He sees some good quality in everyone in this way. And then there's the Ati Mahattam. The Ati Mahattam is especially, extremely good, and he sees good even when there's no good. And the Ati Mahattam doesn't see any bad person. He sees everyone is good. And just as there are four saintly persons, Vishwanath says, there are also four asadhus, or budmash, rascal type people, nonsense. The first is the asadhu. He's a wicked person. And the wicked person, the nature of the asadhu is, he sees some good in other people, but he sees bad. He sees bad in everyone. But sometimes he'll see some good. But if he sees some good in someone, he thinks, yeah, the guy's chanting his rounds, but believe me, he's not going to last. I've seen it so many times. He's going to leave sooner or later. He's going to fall down. He's a brahmachari right now, but believe me, he's going to get married and he's going to go crazy, this or that. So he doesn't see. He sees, even if he sees some good quality in someone, then he thinks, yeah, that the good quality is going to go away. He's an asadhu, a wicked person. Worse than the asadhu is the asadhutara. The asadhutara only sees fault. He has 20/20 vision. All that he sees is fault in everyone. And he overlooks any good. If there is some good there, he doesn't see it. If a sannyasi is preaching and trying to help people, he just sees, look at this sannyasi. He's going to the house of so many householders and just filling his belly. That's his whole purpose. He just wants to eat nice food. That's why he took sannyas. He sees some fault in that way. He makes up some fault. And then there's the asadhutam, who's a very especially wicked person. And they take small faults and they magnify them. They don't see any good qualities whatsoever. If they see some sannyasi who's preaching or trying to help persons, then they'll think, oh, this fellow, his only purpose is to take money from the grihasthas. He's just a lazy person. He couldn't get a job. And that's why he dresses up like a sadhu, like a sannyasi. That's his only purpose. This is the nasty mentality of the asadhutam. The asadhutam, he says, there's no pure devotees. And maybe Prabhupada was a pure devotee. But none of us are pure. They'll say that categorically. None of us are pure. Once one senior devotee, he told me categorically, he said, Madhavananda, believe me, there's no pure devotees in our movement. He said, I know all the sannyasis. He said, none of them chant 16 rounds. That's what he told me. He said, I know, I used to be a sannyasi, and I never chanted 16 rounds. This is what he said to me. And I was feeling a little hurt and unhappy with his comments. So then I said something in kind of a harsh way I shouldn't have said, but I couldn't control myself. And I told him, I said, well, please excuse me, but I know at least one pure devotee in our movement. I know at least one. And he said, yeah, who? And I said, you. And he literally took two steps backwards. He thought I was going to do some judo or some kind of thing like that, you know. And he said, what do you mean? And I said, well, it's very clear, isn't it? If you're so elevated that you can see that there's no pure devotees, then you must be a pure devotee. Otherwise, how could you see that? So isn't it really that's what people are saying? When someone says, none of us are pure, means none of you are pure, but I am. Because I can see. Huh? Otherwise, how can we make such a ridiculous statement that there are no pure devotees unless I can see there's no pure devotees? And if I can see there's no pure devotees, then there must be one pure devotee at least. I must be a pure devotee. And then there's the Achyasadutam. He's the worst. And the Achyasadutam, he sees bad in everyone, even when there's only good. He only sees bad in every single person. He thinks no one is good, everyone is bad, everyone is evil. So we should learn from these lessons how to respect the Vaishnavas. And we should learn the principle that we can't tell who is a Vaishnava. It's described by Jagadananda Pandit, Vaishnava Chiniti Nai, Deveda Shakati. We were commenting on this yesterday. That even the demigods, they don't have the strength to see who's a pure devotee and who's not a pure devotee. There's a wonderful example of this given by Srila Thakur Bhaktivinoda in his Kaliyana Kalpa Taru. Eko na je brahma kule chaitanyera ari taki jane chaitanyera lila pushti kare bolo Hare Krishna. Bhaktivinoda says, Ekone je brahma kuli chaitanyera ari. That those persons who are chaitanyera ari, ari means enemies, the enemies of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he says, actually, I understand, they're very, very special people. Taki jani chaitanyera lila pushti kari. And their purpose is to come and to help nourish the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mhaprabhu. And therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur offers prayers to them. Sri Chaitanya Anucha Satya Mitra Jata Sakalera Sri Charani Hoi Lama Natta Bolo. Sri Chaitanya Anucha Satya Mitra Jata. He says that Sakalera Sri Charani Hoi Lama Natta, that I offer my obeisances, my natta, at the feet, Sri Charani, of all the associates of Mahaprabhu, whether those persons are Mitra, they're friends of Mahaprabhu, or whether they're Shatru, whether they're enemies of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Bhaktivinoda, he says, Tomara koroho kripa e dhasara prati Chaitanya shudrida koro binodera mati. He prays to them, please bless me. You're an enemy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You're a very special person. Please bless me. Please make my heart deeply devoted to Krishna. Prabhupada writes in a purport, the ninth canto, chapter 13, text 11. He says, the supreme personality of Godhead can be seen or unseen according to his own transcendental desire. Similarly, a devotee being Jiva and Mukta can be seen or not as he chooses. So we can't see a devotee. And this is a very terrible disease. If we want to do Vaishnav Seva though, how do we render Vaishnav Seva? Who should we serve? Who should we not serve? This is a very, very important question. In Chaitanya Bhagavat, in Ancha Lila chapter 9, Vrindavan Das Thakur, he tells the story of Bhrigu Muni. And he gives a very long explanation of the story. He says that, same story we hear in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, with a little more detail, actually. Very nicely explained by Vrindavan Das Thakur. And how Bhrigu Muni was there on the bank of the river Saraswati with many sages, and they were trying to figure out who's the supreme amongst Brahma, Vishnu, or Shiva. And so some were saying Brahma's greatest, others were saying Shiva, and other people were saying, no, you got it all wrong, Vishnu's the greatest. And so then they all decided we should ask Bhrigu Muni, because Bhrigu, he's the son of Lord Brahma. He's a great sage. You should go and ascertain who is really the best between Brahma, Shiva, and Vishnu. So Bhrigu Muni, he went before his father, Lord Brahma, and he came before him in a very proud kind of way. And so he didn't offer any prayers. He didn't offer obeisances to his father. He neglected the proper etiquette that a son should show. We should understand the purpose of etiquette. We say the smartavya satatam vishnu vismarta vinajata chit sarvi vidina sedasya eta yorava kinkara. Devotees often quote this, that all the rules and regulations are servants of two things: always remember Krishna and never forget him. But don't think that that means that all the types of respect, all the different types of cultural behavior, the ceremonies and things that we do in Krishna consciousness are just meaningless. It doesn't mean that. We should understand the purpose behind them. We see that it's appropriate for juniors to offer respect to senior persons. You see this for Desi devotees, you already know this thing. For Jumna, you know this thing very well. Anyone who grows up in the villages, you see this. And sometimes for those of us who are Bideshis, we see this if you go to the bank of the Ganga. I remember once I was there and I saw there was one husband and wife, and the guru was there also. And the wife, she went first to her husband and touched his feet, and she went to the guru's feet, and they gave her some blessing. We'll see the children, when they get up in the morning, they go to their father and mother, and they touch the feet of their parents, and their parents give them some blessing. And when some senior person is there, they give them some blessing. Now you might think this is just some meaningless ritual, but it's not. There's a purpose behind it. It helps those young people to develop a soft heart. And by behaving like that, they get the blessings of senior persons. And indirectly, in another way, they're also informing a senior person, this is your duty in life. You should give some blessing to the younger persons. But the younger person should earn that by showing their submissiveness, their sweetness. So it was appropriate for Bhrigu Muni to be respectful like that before his father, Lord Brahma. He's Pitamaha, he's Karta, Jagat Karta, he's the controller of everything, the creator of everything. He's the grandfather of the universe. But when Bhrigu Muni came before him, he didn't offer obeisances, he didn't say anything respectful, he didn't fold his hands or anything, he just stood there. Yeah, here I am, Dad. And Lord Brahma became furious. What is he doing? And Lord Brahma, he looked like the incarnation of Agni, the fire god. And when Bhrigu Muni saw that, he thought, maybe it's a good thing for me to leave right now. So Bhrigu Muni, he ran away from that place. And then he went to Mount Kailash. And at Mount Kailash, he arrived there, and Lord Shiva saw Bhrigu Muni. And Lord Shiva said, hey, my brother. And Lord Shiva ran to embrace Bhrigu Muni. And Bhrigu Muni put his hand out and said, do you mind staying away from me? You haven't taken a bath properly. You've got ashes of dead bodies on you. There's snakes on you. Stay a little ways away from me, okay? Lord Shiva, he's known as Rudra. He has a very bad temper. And when Bhrigu Muni behaved like this with him, Lord Shiva became really furious. And Parvati saved Bhrigu Muni's life. She fell at the feet of Lord Shiva and said, no, he's your brother. Just tolerate. Don't do anything to him. And so then he went to see Lord Vishnu. And when he arrived to see Lord Vishnu was in a private place alone with Lakshmi Devi. And Lakshmi Devi, his wife, was massaging his feet. You shouldn't go to a private place where the husband and wife are. But Bhrigu Muni just walked right in. And he walked right up to Lord Vishnu, who was laying down in the bed while his wife was massaging his feet. And without saying anything, Bhrigu Muni just walked up and kicked him with his foot hard in the chest. And Lord Vishnu immediately got up. I'm very sorry. I didn't recognize you. I didn't know that you'd come. I did some offense. Is your foot okay? My chest is very hard. Maybe you hurt your foot. And Lord Vishnu acted like... Now, Lakshmi Devi wasn't very pleased with that. And that's another long story. It has something to do with Tirupati. We won't go in that direction right now. But Lakshmi Devi, she cursed all the Brahmins at that point. But Bhrigu Muni... He behaved in such a way. And Vrindavan Das Thakur, then he raises a question. How do we know who's a pure devotee and who's not? And he says, emphatically, that actually Bhrigu Muni was empowered by the Lord. And that Bhrigu Muni was a pure devotee. And he was behaving in this way to glorify the Lord. To make a contrast between Lord Vishnu, Shiva, and Brahma. And he goes on to describe, he says that Jaha Kori Lena Setahana Karma Noi, Avishera Karma Iha Janiha Nishchoi. That Bhrigu Muni, what he did wasn't on his own account, he did it inspired by Providence. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he says that. In the purport, he was inspired by the Lord. And he says in a similar way, Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva were also inspired by the Lord to act in an angry way, so thereby to glorify Lord Vishnu. So then he says, Siddha Vaishnavera Jaina Vishama Vyavahar Kahilana Iha Bujibhari Shaktikar. He says, so in this way I've explained the extraordinary characteristics of a perfect Vaishnava. He says, but Iha Bujibhari Shaktikar, who has the potency, the ability to understand it? And Vrindavan Das Thakur states, Abhoja Agamya Adi Karya Vyavahar Iha Bhai Siddhantana Deki Kichu Arbalo Hare Krishna. He says that the behavior of such an exalted person is incomprehensible, it's unfathomable, and he says, I don't know any other conclusion other than this. Siddhanta Nadeki Kichu are. I don't see any other conclusion that I can come to other than saying this. Mule Krishna Pradeshya Vibhura Dehete Karaila Bhaktira Mahima Prakashita Bhava Hare Krishna. He says that Krishna Pravishya Bhrigura Dehete. Krishna entered into the body of Bhrigu Muni. Krishna caused Bhrigu Muni to act in this way. Otherwise, Bhrigu Muni wouldn't have been able to do it. In a similar way, Krishna inspired Brahma and Shiva. And so, Vrindavan Das Thakur says, then what do we do? How do we understand? This is our question today. How do we understand who's a Vaishnav? And how do we behave with them? If we want to do Vaishnav Seva, Vrindavan Das Thakur says, Adikari Vaishnavira Nabuji Vyavahar Chejana Nindaita Nahika Nishtavara Hare Krishna. Vrindavan Das Thakur says, hey, Sadhu Sabadan, be careful. Adikari Vaishnavira Nabuji Vyavahar. You can't tell who is an adhikari, who is a qualified Vaishnava, and who's not. You can't understand him. Jay jana nindayitar nahika nishtar. And if you criticize such a person because you don't understand how they're behaving, the nahika nishtar, you can't be delivered. Adhamma janera jaya char jena dharma adhikari vaishnaveo kore se karma bolo. He says sometimes an exalted Vaishnav acts and behaves just like a materialistic person. So it's a big problem. He said, how do I know? How do I tell? If I want to do Vaishnav Seva, I want to respect proper Vaishnavas, I want to associate with higher Vaishnavas, how do I know? If an exalted Vaishnav like Bhrigu Muni, Krishna's personally entered his body and is going and kicking the Lord in the chest, we certainly wouldn't want to associate with someone who goes and kicks a deity in the chest. But now we're hearing that he's actually an exalted devotee. Then how can I tell who's a devotee and who's not a devotee? Vrindavan Das Thakur says, it's okay. Don't worry. He says, I have a conclusion. Shabbi ite deki eka maha pratika sabare kariba stuti vinaya vyabaha. Bolo Hare Krishna. I only see one solution for this problem. He says, you should be humble and respect everybody. Because you don't know who's who and what's what. Because we're not the seers. And if we think that we're the seer, then we're going to have big, big problems. And therefore, Vrindavan Das Thakur, see if I can find it, he describes in another place, Ese Vaishnava Dharma Sabare Pranati Sehi Dharma Vajija Iti Nahi Rati Bolo Hare Krishna Hare Krishna. He says, Ese Vaishnava Dharma. This is Vaishnava Dharma. This is how Vaishnavas behave. Sabare Pranati. They respect everyone. If we want to consider ourselves a Vaishnav, you want to understand what is Vaishnav Dharma, what is the activity of Vaishnavism, give respect to everyone. He says, but say Dharma Dvaji Jar Iti Nahi Rati. There's some people who don't appreciate that. They're called Dharma Dvaji. Dvaji means a flag. And there are persons who are waving the flag of Dharma. Yes, I am a great devotee. They're advertising themselves as devotees. But those Dharmadvajis, they don't have any taste for this kind of behavior. They have no attachment to giving respect to everyone else. They just want to get respect for themselves. Many years ago, we heard many times from our revered spiritual master, he used to tell us that there's always pure Vaishnavas present. And he said, there's proof. The proof is, in this room right now, there's oxygen. That's the proof that there must be pure devotees. The proof that there must be pure devotees is that the sun is shining during the day. The proof there must be pure devotees is this whole planet, this whole universe is existing. This is a proof that pure devotees must exist. I always thought that's nice, but not really something quotable. And then later on, I was reading in the 7th canto of the Padma Purana, and I found a statement where Krishna speaks. And Krishna says, Samsara Vaishnavadino, Deva Vaishnava Palita, Ahamcha Vaishnavadinas, Tasmat Shreshtacha Vaishnava. He says, Tasmat Shreshtacha Vaishnava, the Vaishnavas are the best. How are the Vaishnavas the best? Because Samsara Vaishnavadino, this entire material creation is dependent on the presence of some pure devotees. If there's no pure devotees, this universe can't exist. There's a Bahiranga Karan and an Antaranga Karan, an internal and external reason, cause for this material universe. The internal reason is for Krishna's pastimes. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains that just as a candle looks more brilliant in a dark room than it does in the middle of the day outside. So similarly, Krishna's pastimes look more wonderful with the backdrop, the back black, dark backdrop on this material universe. That's the real purpose of this material universe. But there must be some pure devotees, because the secondary purpose is a reformation to reform the conditioned souls. And Krishna does that, Krishna Kripa Sri Murti, he does that through the medium of his pure devotees. Vaisheshika Prabhu was commenting on this today, and he made a very nice statement. He said, sometimes you go to a company and you want to buy a product from them. And the company says, I'm sorry, you can't buy it from us. You have to go to our distributors. We don't sell directly. Many companies are like that. So this is like Krishna. You go to Krishna and say, please give me some mercy. Krishna says, I'm sorry, I don't have mercy. You have to go to my distributors. And my distributors are the pure devotees. So Krishna says, great authority Krishna in Padma Purana, he says, Vaishnava, Sangsara Vaishnava Adino, that this whole universe can't exist without the presence of some pure Vaishnava, Sangsara Vaishnava Adino, Deva Vaishnava Palita, Palitaha, that the demigods, they're nourished by the pure devotee. If there's no pure devotee, the demigods can't exist. And Krishna says, what to speak of them? Aham cha Vaishnavadinas. I can't exist. Now think about that. Abhinatha namanamino. Krishna's non-different from his name. There's a lot of the holy name going around here in Mayapur, I noticed, wherever I go. And in fact, all over our movement, there's a lot of holy name going on. Krishna's present in the form of his holy name. There must be some pure devotee. We don't know who it is. Maybe it's a GBC member. Maybe it's some sannyasi or temple president. Maybe some grihastha devotee. It might be some mataji with 5 or 6 children. It might be some child, some little girl or something. We don't know who that personality is. But we can understand there must be some pure devotee present. Otherwise, it couldn't go on. So we should understand that we should respect everyone. And ultimately we want to serve everyone. But if we have some faith, Krishnati Yashigiri Twam Manasadhi Yaita Dikshesti Chitpanati Bishchava Jantanisham. If we see someone's chanting Krishna's name, if we see that someone is initiated, they're serving the deity, we see their bhajan vigyan, they're expert in bhajan, we see that they're nindadi shunir hidam, they don't have any propensity to criticize others, we give more respect to those persons and we want to serve those persons. Why? Because we have some faith in them. But it doesn't mean they are an uttam or a madhyam or a kanishtha, because I can't see. I don't know. But I have faith. But my faith may be different than your faith and different than her faith. That's the way it goes. I married a particular person, he married someone else. And each person thinks their wife, their husband is the best, their guru is the best. And therefore we say that guru is a relative manifestation of the absolute. Guru is absolute. Acharya mam vijaniyam navamanita kari chit. He's non-different from Krishna. He's Krishna's representative. He's absolute. But he's a relative manifestation of the absolute in the sense that my guru is not necessarily their guru or his guru or her guru. There's Vyasti Guru and Samasti Guru. We were speaking of this the other day. Samasti Guru, the sum total of all Guru, is Krishna. And Vyasti Guru is like a kiran, a ray of light coming from the sun. And that's the individual Gurus. And there's so many different Gurus. And ultimately, Srila Prabhupada says Guru is one. Guru is one because they're all coming from Samasti Guru. They're all representatives of Samasti Guru. But it doesn't mean that because they have a guru that I have to accept them as guru also. It doesn't mean that guru is something, he's not actually a jiva soul, he's in some other kind of, he has some other kind of position, maybe he's kind of Vishnu Tattva, or I don't know what he is. No, he's also a jiva, he's a devotee. And that person's guru is their guru, and he's absolute for them. But for another devotee, he may not be. So we should give respect to everyone because we don't know who's a Vaishnava and who's not a Vaishnava. There's a number of good examples we can give in this regard. In the mid-1960s, late 1960s in San Francisco, during the hippie revolution, Allen Ginsberg, a great authority of the hippie revolution, he recommended to all the hippies that when you're taking LSD, to re-enter into this world, you should go to the morning program in the Hare Krishna temple. That was his recommendation. And a lot of people were doing that. And a lot of people were coming and they were taking prasadam from the devotees. And one such young man, he was coming regularly for some days or weeks, I don't know. And after a while, they noticed him, and one of the devotees asked him, would you like to do some service? Because service is so important, right? And so he said, well, yeah, sure. You guys have been feeding me. Yeah, I'd like to do some service. And they said, why don't you go talk to that guy over there? And they pointed at someone who was wearing Western clothes, and it was filthy dirty. He was a little confused, whatever. So he went over and he said, excuse me, I don't know who you are. They told me I should go and talk to you. And the guy said, oh, I'm the garbage man here. You're the garbage man, okay. Well, they said, I can do some service. I can. Yeah, you can help me. And so that young man spent the whole day with the garbage man at the temple. And the garbage man got him to help load a big truck full of all the rotten garbage and leftover vegetables and things, and they took it to the dump. And the whole day, the garbage man was so ecstatic and just talking about Krishna in such an animated, ecstatic way, that young man became so impressed, he thought, damn, this is the garbage man. And he's so ecstatic. I want to become a Hare Krishna devotee. And later on, he found out that garbage man was actually the temple president. The temple, and his name was Jayananda. And that young man, he got initiated later on. He was my first temple president. His name was Vatsal Prabhu. So we can't see who's a devotee and who's not a devotee. There's another story I like to tell. There's one young man was hearing from Hanumat Prasad Poddar. He was a student. And this young man, one day, he got a copy of Chaitanya Charitamrita in Hindi. And he was reading, oh, this is such a nice book. And so he went to Hanumat Prasad Poddar, the Maharaj, can you please tell me about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? And Hanumat Prasad Poddar told him, well, I can't explain that to you, but there's one sadhu who's coming to Gorakhpur soon, and he can tell you about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Oh, who is he? His name is A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. And he can tell you about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this young man, when Srila Prabhupada came with his entourage of Western followers to Gorakhpur, the young man went to see Srila Prabhupada. But he was disappointed when he arrived in the quarters where Prabhupada was staying to find that everyone had already left. And Prabhupada had gone for a morning walk or something, and all the devotees had gone with him. No one was there, just some old man was sitting by himself alone in the room. And the young man was looking a little confused. The old man asked him, who are you looking for? And the young man said, oh, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. I'm trying to find him. And the old man, in kind of an annoyed way, kind of an irritated way, asked that young man, what do you want with him for? And the young man felt a little hurt. He said, well, I want to know about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Maybe this person is my guru. And the old man said, who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? And the young man, he said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the old man said, who says so? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a devotee. He's not Bhagavan. And the young man became angry by that. And he started chastising that old man and having an argument with him. And then right in the middle of their argument, suddenly some young Western devotees arrived in the room and they offered obeisances to the old man. And the young Indian man, then he started realizing, oh, this is actually Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada started laughing and he told his disciples, huh? He was arguing with me. I was telling him Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not God and he was very angry with me. Prabhupada was very pleased with him. And that young man later received initiation from Srila Prabhupada and sannyas, and his name is Radha Govinda Maharaj. So we can't see who's a pure devotee, who's not a pure devotee. We want to render Vaishnav Seva, but how can we render Vaishnav Seva? Vaishnav Seva is based on faith. Vaishnav Seva is not something that we do in a mechanical way. Like sometimes someone in America, they want to sell you a used car. And so they're very nice to you and they flatter you and they say so many different things. Vaishnav Seva is not like that. Vaishnav Seva is based on faith. It's based on the heart. We should serve everyone with our heart. How can we serve everyone with our heart? By seeing some good qualities in everyone. By seeing something about Krishna in everyone. And even we can serve the non-devotees. How do we serve the non-devotees? We go and we give them respect. We say, my dear sir, Prabhupada said once, my dear sir, you're so very intelligent, so very elevated. Now please, just forget about all that and take this book. And we can serve them in that way. We can care about them. One way to serve others is to just simply care about them. And anyone who's done book distribution knows this, isn't it? You meet someone on the street, if you really care about them, oh, they just melt their heart. And sometimes they just want to talk to you because you're the only person I've ever met in my whole life who really cares about me. And oh my God, I have so many problems. And they just want to talk and talk and talk to the devotees. Somehow or other, they should come in contact with the devotees. And the devotees want to serve everyone. But we serve Krishna. We don't serve everyone in a sentimental way, like the impersonalists who say that Drudha Narayan, the poor man, has become Narayan. We don't think like that. But we think, we see Krishna in the heart of everyone. And we want to serve everyone. We want to help everyone. And then if we see someone, Krishneti Yashagiri Tramanasadhyeta, who's chanting Krishna's name, oh my God, that person I want to give great respect to. I want to encourage them to chant Krishna's name. And if we see they have second initiation, wow, that's really good. They're worshiping the deity. Then we offer obeisances to them, to the principle, to the activity that they're doing. And if we see they're expert in bhajan, they're preaching, and they're not criticizing anyone, that's the kind of association I want. We should be simple. We don't know how many pure devotees there are in our movement. All that we know is there must be someone. Because the sun is coming up every day, the oxygen is here, this planet is here, the holy name is here. There must be some devotees. So we should give up the evil propensity of being sophisticated and thinking that I'm fit to be the judge of the Vaishnavas. I'm fit to be the judge of Gurudev. I can't judge them. All I can do is piteously cry to Krishna, you please reveal to me who is sadhu, who is guru. And then, I don't know. Jiva Goswami in Bhakti Sandarbha, he says, why is it that some people are attracted to bogus sadhus? Some people are attracted to bogus literatures. Why is that? They have faith in them. Why is that? And Jiva Goswami quotes from Brahma Vivarta Purana, which explains that when someone has sin, pop, in their heart, and we can conclude also from this that if someone has aparad, or offenses in their heart, then because of that pop, or because of that aparad, they may be attracted to bogus persons. They may be attracted to bogus philosophies and bogus literatures. So what can we do? We want to encourage them in whatever way we can. If they'll listen to us, we speak to them. If they won't listen to us, then we try to serve them in some other way. But Vaishnava Seva is our life. It's our everything. And therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he told the devotees here in Navadvipa before he left, you chant the holy name, Nama Sankirtan Vaishnava Seva. Chant the holy name together and do Vaishnava Seva. It's the most important principle. So I've gone a little over time. I'm sorry. I'd like to stop here. Are there any quick reflections? Maybe just one or two reflections from devotees? And then maybe questions. Prabhuji?
Okay, I was thinking how in our culture, in the society also, children coming from very respectable families, when they have any argument among themselves, they try to correct each other by sometimes saying something similar to spitting. But it doesn't mean that they are actually spitting at each other, just saying.
Something similar to what?
Spitting.
Speaking.
Spitting.
Spitting on someone, okay?
Even they feel and learn from the elders, very responsible in the culture elders. They do it to others, very responsible. But they don't actually spit. It's like Prabhupada touch her on the skin, but not meeting. But it's a way of connection.
Yes, this goes on sometimes, isn't it? And therefore, indirectly, I think in your statement, you're implying something too, that we all have a responsibility to behave properly. Because when we see some devotee, someone who's initiated in this line, they're chanting 16 rounds, they're initiated by Guru, they're engaged in service, and they think that I have to expose all the rascals, and so I'm going to make a website and expose all the rascals. And indirectly, they're saying something. What are they saying indirectly? Indirectly, they're saying, chanting Hare Krishna is okay, but if you really want to be a very advanced devotee, you have to learn to criticize other people. And to really be an advanced devotee means you should smash them and bash them. And so this is against Shastra, as we were describing in so many different ways. And we hear that Shruti Smriti Puranadi, Pancharatra Vidim Vina, Akantake Hariya Bhakti Upachaya Vakalpati. Upachaya means a discrepancy, a problem. If we neglect the injunctions of Shastra, and in particular this injunction that we should not find fault in others, then it creates a disturbance. And what disturbance? It creates a disturbance in two places. It creates a disturbance in my personal bhajan. My mind becomes agitated. I become proud. I can't cry out to Krishna properly. I become so proud. And it creates a disturbance in our society. Because other people then they begin to follow you. Just like the children. If they see an adult spitting on someone or spitting on the ground or doing some nonsense thing, then the children, they naturally follow that. And you can't tell them, don't do as I do as I say. That doesn't work. Better we teach by our example. Manasi knows this very well, isn't it? When you raise children, you can tell them so many good things, really good things, but if you're not doing it, forget it. There's no way that the kids are good. But on the other hand, if you're doing it, even if you don't say it, if you're living like that, they'll appreciate that. I think that's indirectly what you're indicating. I appreciate that point. Okay, so I think we should stop here. Everybody wants to take rest at a decent time. So we'll continue tomorrow. And tomorrow we want to speak about serving Guru and serving Vaishnavas and some of the intricacies between them. You have some comment or question? Do we have a break tomorrow? Is that right? Excuse me? Yeah, I thought Abhishek finished at 1 o'clock or something. At 11. I don't know.
Yesterday you just said that we have 27, 28, 22, 23.
Someone has said like that. Okay. Second and third. We can't have the third. Yes, tomorrow we have. But there's some confusion. Tomorrow we have, and then third we don't have. Thank you very much. I'm just confused. They just tell me, sit down, talk. She tells me, I don't know anything. No, thank you very much. It's good.
Okay.
Yeah, someone should put that on the forum if they can. She talked about maybe in the Russian forum you can write something, I don't know. You're on the Mayapur West Russian forum. Srila Prabhupada ki, samaveda bhaktabinda ki, gaur premanande, vanchakalpadarubhischa, kripasindubhyeva cha, patitanam pavanebhyo, vaishnavebhyo, namo namaha, anandakoti vaishnavabrinda ki. Srila Prabhupada ki.
One reflection just hurt, I think about. Regarding to respect everybody, then there is one incident of Dhruva Maharaj, so the stepmother of Suruchi.